I want to talk about resentment this time. I had a really, really incredible professor in college, and he officiated our wedding. Oh, he was such a good guy. He was a pastor, a very, very wise human being. I mean, he's probably the wisest human being I'd ever met, me and my wife. And he taught a number of relational and communication classes that to this day still have a really profound impact on me. I'm going to talk about conflict and resentment. I'm going to use his words verbatim. I don't remember where it came from. I can't remember what textbook it comes from. Doesn't really matter right now. All I know is that expectations, if they're not met, whatever your expectations are that you set, you are setting up yourself for a world of hurt. Unmet expectations create disappointment. And that disappointment, unresolved, leads to contempt. Or it's not contempt. Those unmet expectations result in disappointment. That disappointment resolves in resentment. And that resentment results in contempt. And that contempt stays and it festers, and it ferments, you know? So you have this contempt, this resentment and this contempt over an unmet expectation, an unmet disappointment, and it festers and it ferments, and at some point it never really goes away. Like, it's just there forever, right? This happens in relationships all the time. And in fact, that's where it happens. And that relationship doesn't have to be one-on-one with a person. It could be man versus the world, man versus society. It could be any of that stuff, you know? Like, I kind of have this right now with things like politics and the government. It's like, I just resent it, all of it. I think it's all stupid. I don't trust any of those people. After COVID, I don't trust any person on a screen to tell me anything without me doing any evidence, research myself, right? So I don't trust any politics. I don't trust any politician. I don't trust any government. I don't trust any of that stuff. Now, as I said before, disappointment, because of unmet expectations, it results in resentment, and that eventually becomes contempt. And so the way that this all happens is our expectations get violated first. So we have expectations that we set for the world and for ourselves and for people. And those expectations are set in different ways. And as long as they're being clearly communicated, we're fine, right? Well, the problem is, I'll tell you this. There are three ways you can set your expectations can be violated. One is when you share your expectations and they're ignored. Two is when you don't share your expectations and they're violated. And three is when you set expectations that are extravagant. So let's say in a relationship, expectations one, you set the expectation, hey, can we go to dinner tonight? And your significant other goes, yeah, okay. And then tonight they just don't do it. You shared your expectations and they violated them. They knew them, but they violated them. Option two, you don't share expectations. And this one's more pernicious, and this happens way more in relationships, is you set expectations for your significant other. You're like, hey, you're thinking to yourself, our anniversary's coming up, I want to do something special, but you don't say anything. And then it comes time for your anniversary or whatever, and you go to your significant other and you don't tell them you want to go out on like a date, and then because you want to like surprise them or something. And then as soon as it comes time for the anniversary, that significant other, maybe they forgot, and they're not bad person. They just forgot, and they made plans. They did something else. They decided they were going to do something that day, and you didn't communicate expectations with them. And so because you didn't communicate, you go, hey, I want to do this thing. I have expectations. And they're like, what are you talking about? Another example could be that's more clear cut is like, maybe you expect, because you cook dinner, that your spouse is going to do the dishes because you cook dinner, but you don't communicate that. Then they don't clean up the dishes. They go do something else. And then you end up with this disappointment because you thought they were going to clean dishes, but you didn't tell them, hey, I did the, you didn't ask them. You didn't say, hey, I made dinner. Could you do the dishes? You don't communicate that. So you just end up with this disappointment because your expectations weren't met, but you didn't communicate them. See? And then, like I said, the third way is extravagant. So if you set expectations with somebody and they, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make $1 million in 3 days. And actually believe that. Okay, yeah, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed because that's not realistic. See? And so, like I said, once this disappointment happens, the disappointment spirals you down into resentment and then the contempt. See? And you really do not want to go from that disappointment to that bitterness to that resentment to that contempt. And the reason is that once you're in that state of contempt, you then have contempt for that person because of a thing that they didn't do or because of a thing that they did, because an expectation you had of them was violated. Now, all of this leads into the main thing I want to talk about, which is how do you have conflict with someone you can't interact with? See? What do I mean by that? Well, I have a lot of contempt right now for as an example, like the government. And I just mean all the whole political body in general. I think it's all stupid, right? All of it. It's a clown show, okay? Well, the only way that that contempt can ever be mended is if the only way you can ever actually resolve conflict like that is to have the conflict and to go to let's say I'm in a relationship and the thing with the spouse, like I cooked the dinner and my wife didn't do the dishes and it's the 40th time since we, you know, in a row that this hasn't happened. And so I blow up and I get frustrated. We have the conflict. We explain the expectations. We explain what was going on. And then we work through it and try to resolve it by going like, hey, this is what I expected. And then my spouse goes, this is what I expected. Right. And then you sort of walk through it and then you apologize for what was done wrong and all this stuff or what wasn't done wrong, but you just talk through it. Okay. Well, the whole point is that the way you resolve conflict is you actually go and have the conversation and have the conflict and explain and elaborate on what's going on within the conflict. When you are in a relationship with something that you can't talk to, that contempt is permanent. You see? You can't talk to the government. You can't talk to society. You can't talk to the world. You can't talk to the one that got away. See, you can't do that because you're stuck in this state of permanent contempt and you can't talk to anybody about it. You can't go to the source and fix the contempt. So the contempt's permanent. It doesn't go away ever. That contempt is there forever because you're in a state of perpetually, permanently, extremely disappointed. How do you fix that? You can't. There's no way to, the only way to resolve that is to come to conclusions that I can think of, is to come to conclusions about that entity or person or group or individual or whatever that still leads into betrayal because you're like, well, I thought they were this person or whatever, and it isn't. It's whatever, right? And so you decide that they're a terrible person or they're a terrible body or whatever, and then that is the conclusion that you make so that you can move on from the conflict, but it's still there. You trade the fermented roots that fester within you to a scar. It's still there. You know what I'm saying? I say this because I have a lot of resentment to things that I can never fix. I have resentment about decisions I've made in the past that I can't fix. Things that I feel like I can never forgive myself for. And I don't really know what to do with myself about them because, like I said, I can't have the conflict. I'm not pretending that I'm in the right. One of the big ones that I won't get into all the way is that something happened in college that I can't really forgive myself for. I mean, I can a little bit, but I just made a mistake. But I can't fix it now. I can't fix it. I've done everything I can to fix it, but the wound is still there. So I just have this resentment towards myself or towards a situation that's a scar, and that scar stays with me forever. I'm going to be 56, 67, 75 years old, and that scar will still be there. That wound will still be there. I will still have that anger and still have that frustration. And forgiveness is supposed to wash that over, but I can't forgive. Can you forgive somebody that doesn't apologize to you? Like, if somebody wrongs you and or let's say that, I don't know, you wrong, it doesn't really make a difference. If you wronged somebody or somebody wronged you and you want to make it right, you have to go to that person and make that right. What if that person just doesn't even want to interact with you? What if that person isn't a person and it's just a body or it's an organization or it's something else? Then you can't have the conflict. So you just have this resentment and it just stays because you can never go to the source and say, hey, I'm not saying it's complicated. You know, if you go to, if it's an organization, let's say an employer or something, you go to that employer, what would be a magical situation is just walking to the employer and saying, hey, I expected this. I wanted this in return. This didn't happen. And so that's what I saw. That's it. It's not super complicated. It's just like, hey, these are the areas where my expectations were not met. That's how you work through resolving conflict. But you can't do that in life sometimes, many times. I've been fortunate in some situations to be able to do that. But in some situations in my past, I have not. And I have to live with the consequences of things that are not my fault and the consequences of things that are. And I can't resolve those conflicts. They're permanent forever. That there, I feel like I'm perpetually disappointed in something. And like I said, I can't forgive. Can I forgive myself for a mistake somebody else made? If somebody else wronged me and I'm hurt years ago, how do I fix that? And I can't just go, well, it's not my fault. I don't know. Maybe I got too big a heart or something. But when somebody wrongs me 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago and it still hurts to this day, what do I do? How do I fix that resentment? I don't know. And, you know, the forgiveness happens from being like, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Okay, move on. Well, we can't do that. So you're just perpetually in pain. You're just perpetually frustrated and disappointed. It's just like a festering wound. And every couple months or whatever, salt gets poured back into it so it stays open. And eventually you just, by 50, I mean, I would just, if that was my whole life, by 50, I'd be a wreck. Because I'm just walking around with all of the resentments that I have as a result of things that are or are not my fault. And they're only there because I couldn't fix them myself. See? It's not about if I did something right or wrong. It's about fixing the problem. There are tons of situations where somebody else wronged me and I wanted to go to them and fix it and they just refused to fix it. And there's tons of situations where I wronged somebody and I wanted to go fix it and they didn't want to have it fixed. And it's like, because mistakes happen in life. And it's hard because I can accept that mistakes happen in life, but it's really hard for me to accept that I can't resolve the mistakes the way that they ought to be resolved in life. See, that's the problem. It's not about the mistakes. It's not about the pain outright. It's I wish I could resolve them, but I can't. I'm not the kind of person to be able to throw those things under a rug and insecurely pretend they didn't happen. I'm not that person. I don't do that. I messed up and other people messed me up. And I choose to live with that every day and just be like, yeah, that's what happened, you know? And so like I was saying about resentment, it's in life, you got to set expectations with people, with communities, with organizations, with employers, with the society, with the world, with the government. Like, we have to set expectations and communicate them. And if they aren't communicated, then remember, any unmet expectations that you set with anything you can't communicate, good luck. You know, there are times where we can't communicate those expectations, and there's times where we can, but, I just have a lot of resentment. One thing that I'll elaborate on, and it connects back to one of my last episodes, and then I will be done, is I have a lot of built up resentment about the fact that confidence not being natural to me is my burden to carry. So, I mean, in high school, you know, the kids walking around that clearly have confidence or were taught to fake it till they make it when they were 6 or something. But all the kids walking around with confidence, why don't I have it? What's wrong with me that I don't have that confidence? What got missed? You know, in high school, let's say, that's what I'm thinking. Middle school, that's what I'm thinking. College, that's what I'm thinking, where I'm like, why am I not that person? And you could even make an argument that it's envy, and maybe that is, and maybe that's wrong. I don't know, but like, there are times in life where I'm like, man, I wish It's not that I want what that person has, like the net outcome of that person. It's not like I'm looking at the person with the Tesla going, I wish I had a Tesla. Like, that's not what it is. It's, I wish I had the internal work. I wish I had the blueprint easily available and readily scalable within myself to become the person that can go earn that Tesla. Something like that, see? And I resent the fact that that's not me. I resent the fact that, like, I was just taught insecurity. Like, I just resent that because I wish instead, like, confidence was something that was there. I essentially got mixed messages as a kid. I got some of it, but not enough of it, not all of it. And so I, you know, all the things that I, all the confidence that I have feels like a giant house of cards. And I resent that. I resent that because I thought that, I don't even know what I expected. All I know is, I guess my expectations would be that at a certain point in life, that confidence would either come naturally to me or be easy or something like that. And it just has not happened. And I resent the fact that the kids at high school and college that got it naturally or were had it instilled in them early enough that they were able to build that blueprint from themselves. You know, like, as an example, I don't know how to put it this way, but like, this is such a stupid example. Like, it's a really dumb example, so don't hold me accountable. But like, I would like to think that a brain surgeon probably believes in himself. And I would think that a brain surgeon at 17 years old, because he's not a brain surgeon yet, is on a path to becoming a brain surgeon as a result of confidence instilled in him in some areas, confidence that he instills in himself in some areas. And even if there's insecurity about the path, there are people in his corner cheering him on towards that path. Something like that. I don't know. But you kind of get what I'm saying. I don't think anybody going under the needle for a surgery, because I hate all that stuff. I've not had that happen yet, thank goodness, but it'll happen someday. Going under the needle for surgery, I wouldn't expect you to think your brain surgeon is going to be not confident. You're not sitting there with a dude's doing brain surgery on you being like, I wonder if he's confident about this. Like, and I'm not talking about the surgery. I'm talking about the confidence that the brain surgeon has within himself to pull it off. You see what I mean? Does he have the confidence within himself to pull it off? I would hope he does. And where does he get it from? Doing it 500 times. See? What happens if I do it 500 times and then I kill somebody as a brain surgeon? Would I ever be a brain surgeon again? No. I don't know that I could. I just faceplant. And I resent that I faceplant. I wish I could just pick myself up like everybody else does. Everybody else seems to pick themselves up. A brain surgeon kills somebody on accident. Oops, I clipped an artery. I don't know. But like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I resent the fact that I faceplant and can't pick myself up again. And I wish that wasn't my legacy up to this point in my life. I resent that. And I wish there was another way. But that's my burden to carry, is that I faceplant when I would do that. I screw up and then I faceplant. And I resent that is the my thing. Even some of it is my fault, because it's an expectation of myself that I should faceplant. I set that expectation myself at 4 years old. Some things happened when I was a kid and I learned to faceplant. And I resent that I learned to faceplant as a response to the crap that I had seen as a four-year-old. And I resent that. And so how can I go have a conversation with myself as a four-year-old? I can't. You see? So how do I move on? You know what I'm saying? So the only thing that we can do now is prevent future resentment. See, that we can do. We can't fix the resentments of the past all the way from any of them. But we can fix the resentments of the future. Because we can set expectations for the future that are reasonable or communicated or non-extravagant, right? But that resentment from the past, I don't know if it's ever going to go away. I think for, at least for me, there's a good chance that the resentment I have of the past is here to stay. And there's nothing I can do about it.